gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
And I'm John Lobster. Legends Podcast is cracking open the cinematic vault and bringing you a whole month of cons, capers, and car chases. Whether you are a pair of bank robbers or wondering just who is Kaiser Soze anyway, you'll find the big score right here on our podcast. This is Aug Heist, and this week we're discussing the 2016 film Hell or High Water, a modern Western from the writer of Sicario, Taylor Sheridan, and director David Mackenzie. Two brothers are on a string of daring bank robberies in West Texas to save the family ranch, and only a pair of Texas Rangers can stop them. Starring Ben Foster, Chris Pine, Jeff Bridges, and Gil Birmingham, Hell or High Water earned 4 Golden Globe noms and was also nominated for 4 Oscars, including Best Picture. As we wrap up Aug Heist, Beef and I are raiding the vault on this one.
This is one of those movies that I had no expectations for when I saw it a couple of years ago. And wow, a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I kept hearing about it when it came out. And again, this was, I think, the summer of 2016. It was just one of those movies that was not a big release, although it had some big name stars in it. And then it got nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars. And I was like, maybe I should check it out. And then I think we watched Sicario on the podcast. And I was like, I need to check out Hell or High Water, because that's the same writer. He also did a movie called Wind River, which, again, he does these Western themes. And this is such a perfect modern Western.
It is.
That I think the fact that this movie exists is awesome.
The way that it's layered too is there's so much going on. I mean, everything, it tells you the whole story and just the billboards and everything around town about, you know, if you need money, come here. If you need like payday loans and places going out of business, and it sets the stage with all that. It's literal tumbleweeds, you know?
It sets up these opposing forces. You have these two brothers and then the two Texas Rangers. And it just, there's something about the way it establishes the relationships between the two, which, like, they fight, but they love each other.
Yeah, they mirror each other very much.
Right. And it also, there's a sense of, like, this is the last rodeo, so to speak, the last hurrah for Jeff Bridges' character. And there's an air of, you know, an ominous sort of, you know, we don't think the two brothers are going to make it out alive either.
Ben Foster doesn't, about after the second or third heist, when he quick runs across the street and steals it when they're getting lunch, like totally unplanned. Right there, I think he resigned to not making it.
Right.
Just because he wanted to just help his brother get out, you know?
Right.
What's his face? The old guy who we love, Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges, the dude.
Such a prick to his partner in this movie. Yeah. It's like painful. Well, I'll make fun of that part when I get done with the Indian, you know?
These insults, I'll move on to those.
Right. Like, oh my God, you're a dick. But when, spoiler alert, the partner actually does get shot,
He
wells up for a second and like takes
he loses
pause.
It, yeah.
Yeah, it's it's very, it carries a lot of weight.
And there's the implication at the end that this is not over. There will be a reckoning in the days to come.
Yeah, I like that it's open-ended like that. But I don't know. The more I read into it, yes, he gives that threat. They both kind of give that threat. They want it done. But I think what's his face knew, Jeff Bridges knew by the end about, you know, the things we do for family. You know, he said that as he was walking away too.
Right.
So,
yeah, I've watched this movie, this may be my third time, and the more I look at it and the more I think about it, the more I just absolutely love it. And
it's very justified.
Oh, absolutely. And that, I love that. Like, it's, you know, it's portraying masculinity in a very macho way. But at the same time, there's a positive masculinity, too. Like, it's not all toxic masculinity, although that is on display, particularly Ben Foster's character and how he treats women. But there's this, you know, quiet beauty in the film as well. And certainly the stark landscape that it takes
open
place
vistas,
in.
Open vistas, yeah.
The attitude of the locals. Right, I think you get a lot more from there are some fantastic actors in here who are in very small parts. You have Dale Dickey, Katie Mixon, Amber Midthunder, Kevin Rankin, like these great actors who are have very small roles. Maren Ireland plays Chris Pine's ex-wife. You know, it just is a stacked cast, but some people have, they're in one scene or maybe two scenes when they get interviewed after the crime, and everyone steals the scene that they're in. Right. So I think that this is, it really gives you this, the waitress, Margaret Bowman at the T-Bone. What don't you want?
Yeah.
Again, scene stealing, the guy who says, nothing that can't be solved with a short piece of rope. Well, we can't really have you doing that, sir. It's only if you find the tree. God, I love West Texas. Like, there's just all of this local color, we'll put it that way, including a cameo from the film's writer as the cowboy, the literal cowboy in the movie.
Oh, that's cool. The one who was riding, forcing the cattle away from the fire.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll know him. He's also an actor, and he was in the first couple seasons of Sons of Anarchy. He was the local sheriff.
I did not watch that.
Okay, well, there you go.
Even the way that they, like, you can tell how much the locals maybe not dislike law enforcement, but dislike the banks. Because even those three or four men sitting at the table, not just the pretty smiled and eyed Jenny Ann, but they were kind of like, screw you, we're not going to tell you what they look like.
Yeah, I ain't no narc.
Right.
I love Jenny Ann, by the way. She totally, I needed more of her in the movie.
Her eyes are so like icicle blue, it's creepy.
Yep. And she's in a show, a sitcom called American Housewife. She was on Vice Principals. Do you remember that show?
I did watch some of that. That was the one on HBO with Boyd
Walton
Crowder.
Walton Goggins. Yep. Boyd Crowder. Yeah, our boy. I do like our him. Boyd. Our Boyd.
I see what you did, Sal.
Yeah, great actress. So, you know, I think this movie fires on all cylinders in terms of the way it's written, the way it's directed, the way it's shot, the way it's acted. The action scenes are believable, right?
And yeah, this they're is not over the top.
Right. And again, we're back to sort of a Dog Day Afternoon. They're robbing banks. It's not really a heist.
The old guy with the gun when they pat him down and leave it on the counter.
Yep. I'm robbing the bank. I'm not robbing you.
Right, right. But still, if the old guy comes chasing out after him and firing after him. So good.
When they robbed the bank where everyone's packing and the posse goes after them.
Yeah, that was like, oh, Jesus. Was that the posse just in town that heard gunshots in the at the bank, probably?
Yeah, that's, I mean, probably. I've not really spent any time in Texas. It's just what I assume every small town is like. Everyone is packing or has a gun in their truck, and it's just, they're just ready. They're just ready for that kind of stuff to go down. Right?
Yeah, I mean, that is like the prerequisite for living in Texas, I think.
You just have to be packing heat all the time. Yeah, so I really have a good time with this movie. Again, like I said, it's Dog Day Afternoon style. It's a bank robbery, not a heist per se. They do have a fairly clever plan, though, that is revealed in conversation with their lawyer.
I love it. I love that they are stealing back the money from the bank in, you know, singles, fives, tens, and twenties, because everything else is trackable for the feds. And they're going to cash it in at casinos, maybe win a little bit, maybe lose a little bit, and then pay back what is owed on the house and land and the fronted taxes. That is the forethought and thinking in that. And burying the cars, having a pit dug on your land to just drive the car and bury it. Like, all of these things I hadn't seen before in a heist or a robbery movie. And it was just simple and elegant, and it worked.
And they are, so the backstory is that their family ranch, their mother was sick. She took out a reverse mortgage for something like $25,000 plus the property taxes. And they've since discovered oil on the property. So they know that the property is worth more than
$50,000 a month.
Right. $50,000 a month. And they're going to pay off the bank with the bank's own money, open a trust with the bank, and put the land in a trust for Chris Pine's two kids.
See, that's why I like it also, because like our Texas Ranger, God, why can't Jeff Bridges, Jesus, he said right away, he goes, you know, I know if your brother was around, there'd be a jacked up truck with jet skis and whatever else he could think to buy. He goes, but not you. Like, Chris Pine was a smarter, he was doing it for his kids, his legacy, his family. It wasn't to go bang some stripper or whatever. Rich. Yeah.
Right.
So no, that seemed to me like a more interesting way of doing it, and why I think he may have understood a little bit at the end. Jeff Bridges, not that he still wasn't going to seek retribution, but he got it now.
And I think that's something that heist films have to do. And we maybe didn't talk about this as much as we should have with the last two films, but in a heist film, the heist doer, the heister.
Heisty?
No, because that's who's getting heisted on.
I thought that'd be the heisted.
Okay. Well, trusty. Whoever's doing the heisting is morally, although stealing is wrong, they have morally right reasons for doing it, right? I mean, if whether it is revenge or, you know, to get the, somebody had wronged you. And, you know, I like that this one is he's stealing, which is bad, but he's doing it for a good reason. And he's not, unlike his brother, played by Ben Foster, Chris Pine's character is not in it for the violence, the excitement, the
he had
the
rules thrill. He tried to follow.
He had a code.
And it wasn't about, you know, it wasn't all let's knock over as many as we can. It was for the one thing. They had a set limit that they wanted, needed. They did knock over one more so he could pay back his back child support. And I think Chris Pine thought too he wasn't gonna make it out.
And he gave the $200 to Jenny Ann just because she was nice to him?
Yes. And I guess in the last couple movies, though, there wasn't a lot of motivation. I guess the first one, it was the sex change and whatnot.
I mean, a Usual Suspect, they're all bad guys, right? And, you know,
it's because you're a bad guy.
Sorry. Yeah. Al Pacino's character was, in theory, he was robbing the bank for a good reason.
True. But,
you know, this, I think, is a good example of you've got two criminals, and although they're committing the same crime, I don't think Ben Foster's character was doing it because he cared.
I think he was. He cared about his brother, but he got off on doing it, but he wasn't doing it for the cause. He was doing it for his brother and maybe one last ride with his brother, because he'd been in jail, 10 years, they said?
Yeah, killed his stepfather in a hunting accident.
In the barn in April.
In the barn in April.
I see. And that's another thing, too. They do all of this story and this setup with just words, just wordplay. Yeah. Or this, like I said earlier, the signs on the freeway or the signs on the side of the highway that say, you know, foreclosed land. And then right in the background, it says, you know, get land here. I don't know. Yep. It works well.
It. again, it works on all levels, and it's layered, and it's fun to watch. I would highly recommend. This was one of the movies I was most looking forward to discussing, I think, this month. So
I can't remember who told who to watch it. I think it was you told me to watch it at first months ago, but or you know, a year ago, whatever, when it first showed up on Netflix.
Well, it was on Netflix. I was just about to say it was on Netflix for a long stretch, and I watched it on my Amazon Fire Stick
with commercials.
With commercials, because it was the IMDb movie of the week. It came up right on the big banner, Hell or High Water, movie of the week. And I said, hey, that's our movie of the week. No way.
And when I said, watch it with commercials, I'm like, oh, ads. And to be honest, commercials were quaint. I haven't watched commercials in a long time.
Right. And they did it well, where they spaced the commercials between scenes, not like mid action sequence you get a dumb commercial.
No, but so. Sometimes it would be like just at the end of a scene, but you'd still right. had the scene. So it was yeah. like walking like away from the farmhouse and then frame. Would go to commercials, yeah. right, and then come back as a couple steps walking away from the farmhouse.
Yeah. So not perfect, but
for free.
For free. And that's the thing. I'm okay with watching commercials on something that, you know, is free and convenient to watch. All I had to do was point my remote at the television.
That's why you should look at Vudu, V-U-D-U otherwise, because they always
I have Vudu. Oh. I have Vudu on my phone, and I've used it before.
Yeah, they always have lots of free stuff when I'm scrolling.
I have Vudu and what? Crackle. I have Crackle.
Why do I know Crackle?
I think I have another one that's like the same thing.
All right. What else we got on this puppy?
The music.
It's not all up in your face, though. They do it well.
But it's all good. It's all so good. I'm going to click because I wanted to see who the featured artist. I think it's Nick Cave, but I'm not 100% sure. Of course, it's not on the Wikipedia page. Who does the music for it?
Best original scream. No. Where are we at?
Listen, this is life. Our listeners need to know that we are a thoroughly researched podcast. We do we do deep dives on who this is. Okay. So soundtrack credits are, Not Afraid to Die, Gillian Welch and David Rawlings, Chris Stapleton. Nick Cave. Does a song, Townes Van Zandt, Ray Willie Hubbard, Billy Joe Shaver, and Waylon Jennings.
Always good.
Attila. Yep. Okay. So good soundtrack on this. Awesome scenery. Great cast.
Great chemistry between the cast. You believe that they're brothers, and you believe that those two marshals are working together for years.
Ben Foster is such an underrated actor, but everything he's in, he kills. Remember he was in...
The only movie that I remember him from ever is Pandorum.
That's the one I was going to say, because I knew you were a big fan. But he's in a bunch of stuff, and he shows up from time to time. And I feel like he's... You know, maybe you want like a Ryan Gosling type... And you're like, I don't know if we can afford him. Let's get Ben Foster.
Yeah, I mean,
Chris Pine, of course, Captain Kirk.
He did really well having something other than Kirk. I don't think I've seen him in anything other than...
Yeah, Wonder Woman.
Well, okay, yes, Wonder Woman. But
Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he was in the Jack Ryan movie. That they made a while back.
Okay, apparently. See, I just forget stuff. But see, Captain America, he was just... Or in Wonder Woman, he was just being... what's his face? You know what I mean? He was just being Captain Kirk, pretty much. Goofy pretty much, and whatever.
Mm-hmm. In this one, he had the gravitas.
Yeah, he actually was acting a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Shall we do the thing?
I think we can.
You'll never be done with it, no matter what. It's going to haunt you, son, for the rest of your days. But you won't be alone. it's going to haunt me too. See, I got a proofread.
It's good, yeah.
So, us, for Hell or High Water, are we going legendary?
The big score.
Legend of its time.
Vaulting ambition.
Cult legend.
The Long Con.
Awesome.
Clean getaway.
Entertaining.
Nice pull.
Mabel.
Con job.
Forgettable.
Sticky fingers.
Abysmal.
Cheap fraud.
Spring Breakers D&D.
I got really nothing to compare this to on a bad angle. Yeah.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of, so either you don't want the corn on the cob or you don't want the green beans. So what don't you want?
T-bone and iced tea.
T-bone and iced tea. I actually could have mine. I said medium rare.
I have to go, shit, this is... I think I got to go the Long Con on this. I think I got to go Cult Legend.
Yeah.
Because not a lot of people know about this.
Right.
I don't know if it, like you said, I don't know what else came out in the theaters at the time or if it snuck through, but a lot of people found it randomly on Netflix or wherever it was at the time. And yeah, I'm really happy with it. I've watched it. This is only the second time I've seen it now, but I will probably purchase it. Probably not pay for the disc, but still... it's enjoyable and it's fun and it's layered and yeah. Yep. I will go the Long Con. What about you, Sir Lobster?
I was going to suggest the Long Con for you because that's what I was going to pick too. So I think this movie is a cult legend. I think it's got the legend. It maybe doesn't have the cult following yet. We need to preach the gospel of Hell or High Water and get people on board. And also get on board with Taylor Sheridan as a film writer. So Sicario,
yes.
Hell or High Water, Wind River, all very good films. Wind River has Hawkeye and Scarlet Witch in it. Also really good movie. And The Punisher, by the way. So... listen, he's got a knack for writing these types of desolate Western stories, and I think this is the best of the three. This is, I think this movie is better than Sicario. It just captures the feeling of the West, and if you're into that, maybe you like Westworld and you're trying to get into Westerns, but you don't want to go back and watch old stuff with John Wayne and so forth, watch a movie like Hell or High Water. Watch Justified. Get a feel for what a modern Western looks like, because this is well done. So you should watch it, and you should tell other people to watch it. Join the cult.
I went down a rabbit hole with Sicario and Sicario 2 there. I am sorry. Last word on Hell or High Water.
T-bone.
Iced tea.
Iced tea, T-bone and iced tea with corn on the cob. I don't want the green beans.
Exactly. That's how I would go, too.
Beef, what time is it?
Nose time.
Well, this is a big week because we have box office results. And when I say results, I mean a movie made $4 million.
That's fucking crazy. Like, this is a happening. It's a thing. This is doing it. Okay.
Yeah. So Unhinged, the Russell Crowe movie, ended up with $4 million, the first wide release of basically since March. And rounding out some of the top movies were re-releases of The Goonies, Empire Strikes Back, Jurassic Park, Back to the Future.
I like some that Peninsula was up there.
Yeah, Peninsula was up there, a movie called Tulsa, and a movie called Tesla. I mean, can you imagine that? So they're 12 and 13 on the list. Do you think theaters that played both films, you know, they went up to the ticket booth and they're like, okay, they had their mask on. So like, I want to see Tesla. And they get, you know, the wrong ticket or something.
The one with the UL or the ESL?
Yeah.
I want to see Tesla.
Okay, one ticket for Tulsa. No Tesla. Yeah. So
I do want to see Tesla, or at least Tulsa, rent it. No, or the Tulsa. Other one. But I don't know. I'm gonna jump all the way to the end here a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I have off, not this weekend, but next weekend, and like mm-hmm. Friday, Monday, Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And there's a little movie that comes out called Tenant. Uh-huh. And I might be rethinking my whole stance on not going to see it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, as long as you feel safe. Do you know what I mean? Like, as long as you feel safe.
I'll put myself in a bubble. I don't care.
Right.
That new trailer, I'm ready right fucking now to see it.
Well, don't look at the reviews. I mean, seriously, don't. But if
of Tenant,
you again, don't.
Okay.
If you feel safe, I think the best way to do it is to carry a pole arm, like a lance or maybe a spear.
You could just get a closet pole. I'm sure a decent sized closet pole,
a curtain rod.
Have painting. I have collapsible painting handles.
Yeah, and those are extendable, so you can kind of, carry
them
in.
Get back, I say.
Yeah, as long as you have a way to make sure people are enforcing proper social distancing, you feel that it's clean, you're not getting the concessions at the communal popcorn trough.
I would triple mask it if I had to, because it just looks, I don't know. I knew what it was going to be, and now I'm
I've
ready.
I've done neck gaiter plus bandana for some situations. I also have a couple, fairly layered masks, fairly thick masks, so. But remember, you're going to have to wear it for 2.5 hours or whatever the running time is. So as long as you are
2.5 hours.
Comfortable,
Ugh.
So box office numbers are a big deal. The other big thing this weekend is the DC Fandome. So this was DC's, the first stage in their virtual convention series. And DC Fandome was basically a bunch of online trailer reveals, panels, interviews, basically hyping up some of their upcoming projects. And this is basically our top five news stories for the week, all come from the DC Fandome reveals, because there was a lot that was covered. So the first thing I'll start with is the reveal of Black Adam from Dwayne The Rock Johnson. There was an animated teaser that showed off the costume for Black Adam, connecting the mythology of the character to...
He's a bad guy, right? I take it.
He is a bad guy, yeah. Although I think this will portray him as a bit of an anti-hero. There's a line in the trailer where he says, "I did what needed to be done."
And then he's like, "But no one will ever defeat me again.
No one ever will stop me again." former slave, it's established in the trailer. So, I mean, they're definitely portraying a certain angle with the character.
I don't know how I feel about this. He's talked about it forever and for years. Call me the idiot. Ready? Mm-hmm. I thought it was...
Passion.
I thought it was Black Adam.
Okay.
Like A-T-O-M.
Or Up and Adam.
Adam, but yes, it's Adam, like a person's name, which blew
like
my mind.
The first man.
Yes, that would be it.
And this is a spinoff of Shazam.
I'm excited. Well, we could skip to that little part. Then Shazam 2.
Yeah,
title.
So Shazam 2. It's been delayed, but the title will be Shazam 2: Fury of the Gods, which is exciting.
Yeah.
I
like the first
big
one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm a big fan of the first one. So.
Isn't that on HBO now as well?
It is,
nice.
Yep.
HBO Max currently.
HBO Max, sure. I personally, I know I shouldn't get invested in sort of the long-term prospects of this happening, but if we can get to a point where Dwayne The Rock Johnson as Black Adam and Henry Cavill as Superman are going to fight, I'm in. It's worth whatever journey we have to take to get there.
If it takes another couple movies and we get a Shazam and Black Adam, together.
And Superman was I mean, from the neck down, Superman was in Shazam.
I've never been called that before. Thank you. All right, we're going to skip to our fourth story. This is kind of a twofer, and I'm going to start with my least favorite one of these two trailers.
Go ahead.
So the Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League official reveal trailer, and it's go get the alpha target, which is clearly the pissed Superman. Superman. The thing that bothers me about this trailer is that there's no gameplay in it. It's all just cartoon,
very little,
right?
Sure.
I mean, I didn't see much. I could have to watch it again, but it could be fun. I mean, you got your buddy. You got I don't even know the one shot guy.
I know Deadshot,
King Shark, who I love,
Captain Boomerang, and Harley Quinn, and very much the movie version, the David Ayer Suicide Squad version of those characters.
Does the Boomerang dude, does he actually teleport like that?
Yeah, I don't know what they were pulling off there in the...
So it looked like teleporting, right?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what was going on there. So, do you know what this reminded me of?
No, what's that?
The Boys. Right, it's basically... So, the idea behind the game is that the Justice League has been co-opted by Brainiac, right? And Brainiac has taken over the Justice League, and they have gone rogue. They've gone bad. So the Suicide Squad, like the Boys, has to take out the Supers.
Makes sense. And that comes back in a little over a week from recording.
Yep. So you said this was your second favorite. Was there another video game reveal that you liked better?
There was the Gotham Knights world premiere. This trailer almost had it dusty in my house. Like, Bruce Wayne is dead.
Yeah.
Or they think he's dead. I mean, they say he's dead, but
He's been dead before.
Right. He sends out a message to what appears to be four right now. They'll probably bring more people in, but four different people.
Robin,
Nightwing,
Batgirl,
and Red Hood, right?
The Red Hood, yeah.
So you can play these people and
all four.
Go through story modes, and I think you can also play two-player co-op on the internet. So, you know, you could be whoever and I could be someone and go through these missions together. That, to me, right there is worth my money. And this was gameplay. And it looked beautiful.
Yeah, so this is from the same studio that did the Arkham series. And this is picking up after Arkham Knight, I believe, was the last one. There's an Arkham Origins, but I don't think that's in the continuity. Wing would know, and he's not here, so no big deal. But who are they going to go up against, these four heroes?
I didn't really understand that. Well, isn't it all the bad people of Gotham?
Okay, so they're going to fight. They do show Mr. Freeze as one of the main villains. The end of the trailer sets up the Court of the Owls from the Scott Snyder run in the comics.
Can you fill me in on some of that? Because I'm...
Basically a evil secret society pulling all the strings behind the scenes in Gotham.
Okay.
And I don't want to spoil the game, but again, I don't know that they'll go in this angle. It sets up that Bruce Wayne had a brother, and he is connected to Court of the Owls. The Court of the Owls is tied to the Wayne family. So
he gets scared by owls as a kid.
Okay. So, yeah, I think both these video games look good. I was a little more into the vibe of the Suicide Squad, but maybe I was still riding high off the first look at the Suicide Squad movie.
Could be. I have more Suicide Squad news in a
minute. Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Yeah. The number three story, this is big news. A Static Shock movie is in development. So Static Shock, a black character from originally Milestone Comics and then into some of the DC Comics. Again, they're developing a live action movie. And Milestone Comics, which is known for the Dakotaverse, which is basically a black superhero universe, is also making a comeback in publishing. So those were two stories I thought that were worth
mentioning. I think I do remember seeing this as a kid.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, there's an animated show that was a Static Shock show. I believe he was involved in the Teen Titans for some period of time, or Young Justice, and I think that's cool.
What else is really cool is the Suicide Squad kind of sneak peek featurette that we got this week. We got two of them, yes. But the actual like sneak peek that's more trailer,
yeah,
I like that a lot. It just no idea what was coming with this, but to see James Gunn talk about it and the joy in his voice and everybody yes. talking about him directing it, and I get it now. Now I know why we need another one within 3 years or whatever it was. This is going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, so James Gunn was a get for Warner Brothers and DC.
It was a Warner Brothers troll that put that tweet out so they could get him at a deal.
I know. Like, I know it's crazy to say, and I know that we had this long saga on Legends where we were fierce James Gunn defenders.
Absolutely.
And you know, we stuck by it. And not only is he redeemed and is back in Marvel's good graces and will be returning to Guardians at some point, he's making this movie, which looks amazing. I want to talk about the roll call trailer because that sets up not only what characters will be in the Suicide Squad, but who's playing them? Do you want to read the list?
Yeah, we can do that. And we know that probably half these people are going to die, which I think is
right.
Amazing.
Yeah, he said right from the get-go, don't get too attached.
Yeah.
But
so, okay, you got Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn.
Jai Courtney as Captain Boomerang. Joel Kinnaman as Red Flag. And yep. And Viola Davis as Amanda Waller, all returning from the first film.
Yeah, and now you have John Cena as the Peacemaker who...
Yep, basically, if Captain America was an asshole.
Yeah, I think they said Captain America was a douchebag and he wants peace through any means necessary, even if the... doesn't matter how big the body count is. I love that.
Right.
Pete Davidson as Blackguard.
Yep. Michael Rooker as Savant.
I didn't see that as him.
Yeah, I mean, he looked different, right?
He's got long white hair. He looks like one of the old dreadlock ghosts from The Matrix 2.
Yeah. And Sean Gunn as Weasel. So right there you have two of the Guardians of the Galaxy. Michael Rooker, of course, played Yondu. Sean Gunn did the motion capture for Rocket and of course played Kraglin.
Mm-hmm. Now the man with the whistle. Or the arrow.
Yeah, the arrow, yep.
Idris Elba as Bloodsport.
Yes. Peter Capaldi as The Thinker. And what amazing casting. That character looks so cool.
Oh, Jesus. David Dasmussen?
Yep, sure.
As the Polka Dot Man. He's a dude in a onesie with a backpack and has polka dots on him. I am so intrigued by him.
That's what he does. Daniela Melchior as Ratcatcher 2. So one of the things that happens in comics is you have multiple characters use the same code name, and to differentiate them, they'll just say like, oh, well, this one's Ratcatcher 2. So I love that they incorporated that.
Be great if it was T-O-O. Mm-hmm. I do not know the next person's name. I can't.
Fluleberg as Javelin.
That's not Borg?
Okay, sorry, my mouse cursor was over it. It made it look like an E. Fula Borg.
As Javelin, that's cool. And a favorite on the show, Nathan Fillion as TDK.
AKA the Detachable Kid. So you have to, like, it's a blink and you'll miss it. But if you look at his cartoon image, his forearms have detached from his body.
Oh, Jesus.
Ew.
Yeah.
Mei Ling Ying as Mongol and Alice Braga as Sulsoria. And there's going to be other cameos and stuff like that. So,
oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun whenever we get this.
All right, our number one story, and this came way out of left field and not even really part of the fandom storyline. It broke a little bit before it and then was confirmed. Ben Affleck will return as Batman in the Flash movie. And this will all, remember, this is the Flash movie that will also include Michael Keaton as Batman and is supposedly setting up this DC multiverse that will connect all of these disparate films, including Robert Pattinson's Batman, Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman, along with the TV universe.
Are they going to even tell a fucking story in this, or is it just going to be, hey, look at all our other properties. Well, I ran to them. Now they live together in the same verse.
I mean, if they do what the CW did with Crisis, I don't care, man. That was awesome.
Okay. I did not watch that, so I will take your word for it, because, I mean, I like most of these properties, so.
Yeah, and supposedly they're confirming that the movie Flash got his name from meeting the TV version of the Flash, which happened during the Crisis on the CW.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that's all crazy stuff that happened. There's a couple more trailers that we'll talk about that dropped. We also got a look at the first costume, or the new costume for Ezra Miller's Flash.
I didn't really care for it. It's just another.
I mean, sure. It just looks like concept art.
Red spandex.
Sure. We got the some information about the Batman HBO Max series, which will take place in year one prior to the Batman movie. And Dunkirk's Barry Keoghan will be joining the cast as part of that show. And on Batman, I believe, and on The Batman, I believe.
I'm excited for Miss Olivia Wilde to direct a Marvel movie for Sony, and everybody imagines it's going to be Spider-Woman or some version thereof.
Right. It's confirmed to be female-led. Everyone thinks it's going to be Spider-Woman or Spider-Gwen or some sort of that aspect. So, and then there's one more kind of crazy.
Could they
news
do
story.
Spider-Gwen and then like backdoor Miles into it?
Absolutely. Why not?
Right. Okay. Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. It's time for Tiger King Corner. Quibi sucks. Joe Exotic starring Kate McKinnon gets a cross-platform series order by NBC, NBC, Peacock, and USA.
Yeah, so this is going to be a cross-platform
scripted
release, scripted comedy about Joe Exotic. Presumably, Kate McKinnon will play that bitch Carol Baskin.
I mean, this... Okay, you know, if it's a comedy, it could be kind of fun.
Yeah, and remember, there's also a movie in development with Nicolas Cage.
Correct.
Exotic. Yep.
Correct. I guess now it's just whichever can get made quicker.
Yep. And again, one comedy for TV, one more dramatic movie. I think there's room for all of the above. All right, we have a crap ton of trailers to dump at you, friends. So let's get right to it with some TV shows coming up soon. The Right Stuff, coming to NatGeo/Disney+, exploring a dramatized version of the Mercury space missions.
Mercury. I'm interested in this if it has some reality to it.
Uh-huh.
Like, if it's kind of got some inside baseball to stuff that went on, or if it's just more, I don't know. I want some, you know, documentary in my dramatizations.
I hear you. Well, if documentaries are your thing, you will like The Vow, coming to HBO, about the secret sex cult Nexium.
Definitely interested. I saw it on HBO over the weekend, didn't watch it, but yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued. This trailer gives away a lot, not gives away, but helps you get a bigger idea of what the hell was going on.
Right.
So
sure.
It definitely intrigued me more than the last one. What about you? Any interest?
Yeah, I definitely want to check this out. I need to catch up on some of the HBO documentary stuff that I've missed recently. Also, I know we don't talk about cooking shows a lot, something I enjoy, and I'm assuming you enjoy food as well. Mm-hmm. So The Chef's Table is one of those highbrow Netflix cooking food series, but they're doing a special series all about barbecue.
this trailer like made me feel home, right? This is like Granny's been smoking for 50 years and all these
smoking other, meat, yes, we should say smoking meat.
Well, delicious delicatessens. Mm-hmm. This looks like a lot of fun. This is something I will most certainly watch. I actually text my friend right after I watch his trailer. My buddy smokes a lot of ribs and whatnot, brisket. Mm-hmm. I said, dude, this is something coming to your cable box shortly.
Yeah, yeah.
So
no, this looks great. I will definitely check it out. Barbecue is my love language for sure.
Did you think of the Castlevania Dragon's Dogma from Netflix?
Dragon's Dogma. So Dragon's Dogma is a video game, right?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Okay.
And this is a Netflix anime series that, one, looks a lot like Castlevania, also doesn't look as good as Castlevania. No. So, yeah, I don't know.
I'll still check it out, because I'll give it a few episodes, because if it, you know, I wasn't going to watch Castlevania, and within no time I smashed through it. So
right.
We might only get 6 or 10 episodes right away, so why not give it a chance?
Yeah, I figured it was in that style that you liked, so you would probably be okay with looking at it.
Yeah,
so.
Even if it is somewhat similar. And a magic casting woman.
Similar but legally distinct from Castlevania. Cobra Kai Season 1 and 2 coming to Netflix on Friday. Season 3 coming soon. This was a YouTube original series, and then it made the jump to Netflix.
I have nostalgia for it, but I don't have a lot of interest to go watch it. Maybe when I reach a little closer to the end of Netflix, I'll get to this one. What about you?
When you've watched almost everything that's there. I've heard really good things. I'm not an OG Karate Kid fan, nor was I don't think I even saw the remake with Jackie Chan and Will Smith's kid. So,
oh my God, that was a thing.
That was a thing. I don't have any particular nostalgia, but watching the trailer, I was like, this kind of looks interesting. They're setting Cobra Kai up to be kind of the underdog good guys and Daniel-san to kind of be the bad guy.
I didn't know if I really got that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It's still, it's interesting, but I'm just not ready to,
sure.
Sign up.
Are you ready for more The Crown?
I haven't watched any of it, but this is something that I actually remember in my life is the Diana stuff.
Sure.
So
Margaret Thatcher. Do you remember Margaret Thatcher?
I do remember a little bit.
When she was played by X-Files' Gillian Anderson?
No.
Well, she will be.
Oh, well, then I might have to watch it.
A lot of people are sexually confused by this.
Yes, exactly. Right.
Yeah, so that's coming to Netflix in November. All right, we have some movies you can watch at home. The first one is one of these quarantine movies. It's called Host, and it's about a Zoom call in which they summon a ghost, a demon. It's exclusively streaming on Shudder.
No. I've heard Shudder is a good service for people that like horror and stuff. But
our friend Movie Dude Eric is a subscriber and really enjoys it. So
I can see this when we all hang out on Skype or Zoom. I don't need
Sure. I mean, for me, I don't have a Zoom call go by that someone doesn't get possessed.
Or murdered.
Yeah. And we're like, hey, you're on mute. You're getting murdered and you're still on mute. Okay. Time, a documentary coming to Amazon Prime.
This looks gut-wrenching and amazing. Mm-hmm. And a woman and her husband both committed a robbery in the early 90s. And she got out, and he is serving a 60-year sentence. So every year for almost 2 decades, just over 2 decades, she would call and check on him. And I guess it looks like finally he got released, but...
Yeah, trying to appeal the case and get an early release. Yeah,
This looks like a gut punch.
Yeah, and it's long-term follow-along type films where they spend a lot of time tracking the subject of the story. Like, yeah, I don't. It's going to be tough to watch.
I think she took a lot of home videos when the kids were growing up.
And that's also
videotaping herself when she would make these calls to the courts every day, and no one would give her anything. This looks really good. Again, on my documentary type bone.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Switching gears to a romantic comedy, Love Guaranteed, coming to Netflix. I thought this looked cute. This was kind of like, I like how Netflix can do the Hallmark movies and the cool documentaries and the weird, you know, I enjoy that.
The end of it, the beginning of it, I wasn't really clicking, but the end of it, I kind of was like,
they give the whole movie away.
All right. Yeah, well, you knew that's where it was going to go. I have another twist. I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but.
Okay.
I'll tell you for love guaranteed.
Love guaranteed. Yeah. Okay, what's the twist?
At the very end, what's going to happen is the lawsuit's going to get rejected or whatever, because she did end up finding love through the site, or he did or whatever.
My God.
Yeah, gut-wrenching. But they'll have found each other.
Or what if they start their own app? I don't know.
Do you want to? Never mind.
Blackbird, coming from Screen Media Films to Video
On
Demand.
Which was this one?
So this is a film about Susan Sarandon is killing herself, and she's invited all of her whole family to kind of come over, and she's taking her life and has decided that's what she's going to do.
She's dying of something.
She's dying, And she's chosen how she wants to go out. It's got an amazing cast. Kate Winslet, Rainn Wilson, Sam Neill, a bunch of great actors and actresses in this.
This looks painful.
Yeah.
But again, she's choosing to go out on her own, and she's joking with her family, like, oh, you know, all of your inheritances have to be spent on hookers and blow. You know, like, just...
Like you do, like grandma do. But I think that looks fun. The next one is kind of similar, On the Rocks, with Bill Murray and Rashida Jones. And this is Bill Murray reuniting with Sofia Coppola, who kind of ushered in the Bill Murray sense with Lost in Translation.
I'm going to be honest, I absolutely missed this trailer.
I shuffled some around based on how they were being released. This isn't a release coming to Apple TV Plus in October. It's Bill Murray. Rashida Jones plays his daughter, and he thinks that his daughter's husband is having an affair. So they kind of decide to follow the husband and see what's up. So it just looked fun. Classic Bill Murray.
Definitely.
A documentary called Class Action Park. This is local interest. This is an amusement park in New Jersey, or I should say former amusement park in New Jersey, coming to HBO Max.
I have had my eye set on this for about 6 months since we first talked about it on this cast. This will be watched this weekend. By the time this comes out, this cast, it should be very soon, 8/27.
Right.
Many people died. Many people were maimed. Many people were injured.
Decapitations.
No one
impalements.
Would insure the gentleman who built the park.
Yep.
So he opened his own insurance company so he could insure his own park.
Right.
That's crazy.
This is crazy. When I learned about this local story, I was like, you got to be kidding me. They should do a movie about this.
You need to drive past it and take pictures, or is it like?
Yeah, I will. I don't actually know where it is, but I'll figure that out. Yeah. I'll see what I can do. Yeah.
Yeah. If there's anything left.
Yeah, well, I'm sure I can find at least someone that I know has been there. So
nice.
Enola Holmes, coming to Netflix September 23rd.
This trailer actually made me go, I might watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So the other couple trailers is just like, whatever. But this one, I was like, okay, she's fun. She's always like...
11 from Stranger Things. Yeah.
Yeah, she's always energetic and fun in the stuff that she does, and maybe this show will have a few less nosebleeds. And I didn't think we were going to get the other Sherlocks, at least for a little bit, and we do.
Mycroft and Sherlock. Yep. Holmes.
Holmes is his, I guess. Holmes
is the homies.
So
this looks fun. I like that it's a movie and not another TV series. It might be one of the first of the Netflix original movies that I actually watch, but We'll see. It's we're yet to kind of cross that.
I might change your mind in a few minutes here.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So the two trailers that came from DC Fandome. One is a documentary called Joker, Put on a Happy Face. This will be on Apple TV Plus. I think it's already there. And it is a documentary about the Joker, the character of the Joker.
This will be cool. This is, to me, it's more of the like behind the scenes type stuff with Batman and Bill. I know it's not the same, but
right.
Kind of that vein.
It's basically looking at the influence of the character, how all of the different portrayals have happened, and like you said, really cool kind of behind the scenes look. The next trailer is not technically a movie. We found out that Zack Snyder's Justice League will be released in 4 1-hour installments.
So you don't know how horrible it is.
We got it. Well, how bad the pacing is, right. I guess. But we got a trailer of presumably what we have to look forward to. What did you think?
To be honest, I forgot half of like
Justice League, all of it.
So I might have to go back and watch this one and then watch the other one again. I don't know.
He says he doesn't want to use anything that Joss Whedon filmed.
What a bitch! Just if you like it, use it.
Yeah. Well, we also think Joss Whedon might be a bit of a bitch. So
true. I'm not. I didn't. I guess.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean,
come at me, Joss. I don't know. Like, who knows with any of this stuff? But Zack Snyder's Justice League will be its own thing.
4 hours, though.
They're going to spend a lot of money putting it together.
I don't know.
And I bet they space it out so nobody gets a free trial and can watch all of it.
Oh, yeah. Learn from everybody else.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. Some movies coming to theaters eventually, some sooner than others. Let Him Go with Kevin Costner and Diane Lane. This looks cool, doesn't it?
Yeah, this looks...
In that Western theme we were talking about?
There's also a movie I watched years ago. I think it was with Kurt Russell or something, like where his family got kidnapped on the road.
Okay.
And he went to, I don't know, he had to find them. So this is kind of the same thing. That's their
grandson.
Their daughter was widowed.
Mm-hmm.
Daughter and grandson were widowed, and the new person that married them, the young gentleman.
And I think their daughter-in-law, their son's wife.
No, I think that's their daughter. No.
Oh, okay.
Either way, because it's even less akin to them. And that's why they're like, now all of a sudden, this dude that comes into their lives basically kidnaps their daughter and their grandson and takes them back to some. I got like a mobster type.
Yeah, like a mobster Fargo murder house type deal.
Yeah, so it should be interesting. I'm ready for it. I probably won't pay to see it in theaters, but I will definitely rent it when it comes out. This isn't something I need the theaters for.
Sure. How about Death on the Nile, the latest Hercule Poirot, Agatha Christie follow-up to Murder on the Orient Express?
It looks fun, and it's got Miss Gal Gadot, mm-hmm. and
sure.
stunning as always. So this
great looking cast.
Yeah,
Kenneth Branagh
fun
again.
With the last he's one.
In. Yep, and Tenet.
I am so ready to break my, I'm not going to the theater. I don't care if I got to go get a scuba gear that has 2.5 hours of air. After this trailer, I'm ready. And I think by what you said, don't go read the reviews, that it gives too much of everything. But I don't know.
I didn't say that. I said just don't read the reviews.
Oh, okay. Well, I won't.
So Tenet has premiered in some parts of the world. People have reviewed it. Beware ye spoilers out on the internet. The last trailer gives quite a bit away.
Yeah.
But it does.
I don't think it ruins too much though.
Right. So I think if you're going to go see it as unspoiled as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And again, take your life into your own hands. Be safe as you do. But this will be in theaters September 3rd, where theaters are open.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I would really like to do it, but I don't know. We'll see.
Speaking of Gal Gadot and Chris Pine and Warner Brothers DC movies coming to theaters soon, Wonder Woman 1984.
I like the trailer. If this is the same trailer I'm thinking of, I don't really like the design of Cheetah and her cat's
Cheetah,
look.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's very catsy.
Very catty. Oh, whoa, like Cats, the yes. movie Cats? Digitally removed buttholes and things
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, because, I mean, the way she's running around, she's like a... Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Cats.
Do you think we'll see her butthole?
It's kind of personal, but, I mean, I don't know. I haven't even bought her dinner
we
yet.
We don't know. We don't know.
I don't think they're
going to
take it. I don't think they're going to leave the butthole in there because it was such a thing with Cats.
Sure. So this looks good. I like seeing Diana swinging on lightning bolts. That's cool.
Interesting.
There's a jet involved that they talk about being too detectable. Be cool if it turned invisible. And yeah, I'm ready. It's got the Mandalorian in it, so whatever this is, I'm excited for it.
I've been excited for it for a while.
And we have one more trailer. We have the trailer for The Batman.
Yeah.
Robert Pattinson. Okay, he's taking up the mantle of the Bat. So Affleck, Pattinson, Keaton. We got plenty of Batman running around. This trailer has been criticized for being too dark. People can't see what's happening. And a little confusing. And boy, does he punch a lot.
He punches one guy.
He punches one guy like 80 times.
I'm intrigued by the trailer. I think it has potential more than I thought it had. Mm-hmm. But the underlying thing that I got while watching this, the first time anyways, I've watched it a couple more times, but it was like, it's another Batman. I mean...
Right. It looks like a cross between Batman Begins and stuff we've kind of seen already.
Again, I'm not excited about it. I'm just not... This trailer made me more pleased than I thought I would be, but I'm still not like... It's just another Batman property right now. The car looks amazing. I'll give you that.
Car looks good. Car looks good. Suit looks good.
Yep. I just don't know if he's... I am Vengeance. I don't know if he pulls
it yet. I am Vengeance, yeah. The Riddler is kind of a Zodiac killer type. We also see Oswald Cobblepot, played by Colin Farrell. We see a brief glimpse of Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman.
Which is cool.
And some,
Gordon is amazing because we love him from other stuff.
Because it's Jeffrey Wright from Westworld. Yep.
God, I'm bad with names.
So, again, this is all stuff that's coming down the pike we have to look forward to.
I'm excited.
What have we been checking out recently? Spoiler-free reviews.
All right. Lower Decks continues to be and is one of the best things on
TV. Sure.
So I did a thing yesterday. It wasn't really anything I could watch. So I threw on HBO Max and I went, I guess that's free. I guess I'll try it.
Uh-huh.
So I threw on Birds of Prey, the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn or whatever the hell it's called.
And?
Surprisingly, I had fun. Like the first hour and 15, 20 minutes were pretty fun. And then it gets just weird, kind of goofy, over the top 30 minute fight scene to end it, right? Or whatever.
Right.
So still watch it. It's interesting, but it's not. I had more fun with it because I had just watched the Harley Quinn show.
Okay.
So it was just like another couple hour episode of her just being idiots with other people in the show.
Right.
Lovecraft Country. Mm-hmm. Second episode. Oh, and Journey Smollett is in Birds of Prey and Lovecraft Country. And I love her apparently now even more than I thought I could.
Good. Very good.
Lovecraft Country is weird and creepy and... I kind of have an idea of what's going on, but I have no fucking clue. So you need to catch up. Damn it.
Yeah, I need to watch weekend because we had plans to watch it.
Okay.
And I talked to my wife about hooking her iPod up or her iPad up to the TV and watching it. And she's like, "Ooh, my iPad needs to charge." And then so it was charging. And she's, "Ooh, then it's upgrade. Now it's updating." And I was like, "You know, let's just watch something else. Let's not wait for that." So then we started watching some other stuff and just didn't get back to it.
Okay, well, like
said, it's on the agenda for this weekend coming up.
Worst case, by the end of episode 3, we need to talk because my brain hurts. Two other quick things.
Right. No, I've heard good things about it, so I'm excited.
One is actually they're both Netflix properties. One is called Tread. Have you heard anything about this?
I recommended this to you.
Did you?
I saw that. I saw an article about it, and I was like, "Hey, Beef, this sounds like something you might enjoy," and I sent you the link.
Yeah, and then I was flipping through Netflix again the other day, and I was like, "I am going to give this a whirl." And, dude, it is. Gentlemen, this is spoiler-free. A guy in, like, 2000-something, his whole town pissed him off so much, and he was an expert welder, and he made... basically a bomb-proof tank.
He made a death machine, yeah, basically.
He bought an old Komatsu freaking, front-end loader, whatever, and made it bomb-proof, and he started destroying stuff. And this is tapes, because he recorded himself before and during and stuff like that, so there's, like, a record of it. So it's an interesting watch.
I saw this news article about it, and I was like, you know, this seems like something Beef just might enjoy. So I shared that with
you. Yeah, you should check it out when you got an hour and 40. And the other one, when you got an hour and 45 minutes, is something I sat down with over the weekend because I had Friday and Monday off. And I had no expectations, but Project Power with Jamie Foxx and...
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Thank you. Bad with names. And some new young woman. It's a lot of fun. It's action-y. It's copy. The power stuff is campy and fun. It's interesting how everybody has different powers. The story behind it and the reason for all of it shakes out and is pretty cool. So all in all, that's a solid, you already pay for it. It's worth your 2 hours. It's a different take on powers. Like, sure. You liked Push like I did, right?
Yeah, Push was fine.
Yeah, you'd like this then. It'd be something. If it's 2 hours, you're not going to get back, but it's not going to be a bad thing.
Sure.
What about you? What have you been checking out right now?
It's been a light week for me. This is the first week of classes, so I'm back to teaching full-time. So I've been putting a lot of time in all of that. But to relax and unwind, we've been watching old episodes of Supermarket Sweep. We found a couple seasons on Amazon Prime. I mentioned a while back we watched some on Netflix. We also get the Buzzer channel, so sometimes they show reruns on there. So basically, old episodes of Supermarket Sweep have been our guilty pleasure. Star Trek Lower Decks, I watched the third episode. Actually, last night I watched it. So good, so much fun. I again, this has not been a heavy watch week for me, but this weekend I'd like to catch up on Lovecraft Country, and I think of the new stuff hitting that we talked about, I'd like to watch Cobra Kai.
Okay. Well, if and when you do, you gotta let me know how it is.
Will do.
Next time, Legends Podcast. Kick ass. 10th anniversary. Oh, yes.
Wow.
The very first movie cast that I ever did for this show.
Yeah. Yeah, number 43. What? 47?
43 was my second cast. Nice. So 445. Yeah? 445 episodes later, we will be doing it again. Have a comment, question, recommendation? Email us, legendspodcasts@gmail.com with an extra S for shootout. This has been
bang bang.
This has been episode 487 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, woohoo, kick ass.
Playtime's over. I'm Lobster saying, playtime's over. It's been a great Og heist.
It has been. Till next time. Well, we gotta steal some. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. You can also send us an email to legendspodcasts@gmail.com. That is podcast, plural. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on the show is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at IncompuTech.com. The opinions on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legendstream Canada or GunnaGeek. No infringement is intended.